Welcome back to Morning Coffee with Rick Alexander. The theme for the month of November is the second annual 21 Maxims to Maximize Your Life. These are thoughts and contemplations to help you begin finding your own North Arrow as you navigate what could only be described as a chaotic 2020. If you want to go deeper than just the audio experience, you can also head to rickalexander.com and find the show notes as well as journaling prompts. Also, that will be linked up in the show notes of this episode. I also did a short show on how to journal if you're new to it and want to check that out as well. It'll be included on the 21 Maxims page of the website. And of course, if you do get anything at all out of these, it would mean the world to me if you would head to iTunes, give us a 5-star review, and just share the show with anyone you think could benefit from the message. All right, without further ado, on to the show. Maxim 16, don't let fear make you less human. Since the pandemic has kicked off, I found myself wanting more and more to understand the role that fear plays in my life. You know, I think most of us, we understand acute fear. I mean, we don't understand it, but we do understand when it's happening to us. Like, for example, if somebody walked up to you and pulled out a gun, like that fear, you feel that fear, like you would just be reacting in the moment. And so I felt that fear before, like the fear of, oh man, I could really die here. But what I was intrigued by and interested in was this idea that fear could be put on a slow drip, that you would just be inoculated to living with fear over a really long period of time. Which I would submit a lot of the world today is concentrated on this slow drip of fear. Now, we can get into why later on, but mostly why is because it's such a strong motivator to make people do things, right? And so if you want people to watch your program, or you want people to buy your product, or if you want something out of people, the most easily accessible, and I would add most intellectually lazy way to get something out of somebody is to scare them into that thing. Now, another thing that's interesting is when you have an IV, let's say you have an IV drip of morphine. If it's titrated slowly, like if it's a bolus, which is like when they just, you know, squeeze the whole thing into you at once, that's its own thing, right? Your system is going to be like, oh God, that's the fear of the guy that pulls a gun out in front of you. But let's imagine that you have an IV and we put morphine on a super slow drip over the course of an hour or something like that. Well, now what's going to happen is you're not going to feel in each individual drip. But at some point, something within you is going to well up and you're going to feel the effects of that morphine, right? And so you don't correlate always the drip that's happening with the feeling until the feeling's already there. And so one of the things that's happening in our world today is that we've put ourselves on a slow drip of fear. And so we do not see the way it's affecting us in our body, which is why when I do this workshop on the 2nd, we are going to cover these coping mechanisms for dealing with fear. And not only that, just creating awareness around our fear so that we have a different choice. Because until you're aware that fear can be questioned and that things can be understood rather than feared, then you don't ever question that part of your internal constitution. As I said, you know, I could make a case for people that are racist, for example. Most likely, at the bottom of what's happening there is that there's this deep underlying fear, like really. And instead of questioning that fear and understanding it, they're acting on it. And then they're acting as if it cannot be questioned, right? And you see this with people in all sorts of just different dispositions. I talk about racism now because it's something kind of palpable, and it's also something that's like hard to get your mind around, I think, you know, to some degree. But to realize that at the bottom of racist people is a really scared kid. Now, I'm not saying that to justify it. I'm saying it just to, you know, become aware of how fear can live in the back of your life and pull the puppet strings, like quite honestly. And until you do realize what that slow drip feels like, you won't know it's happening. And that's the real problem. The next thing you know, you arrive at this place where certain actions have to be taken because you're under the tyranny of fear. And you've taken it for granted so much that it has literally worked its way into the fabric of your internal constitution so you do not even realize that questioning that fear is an option. And the other reason that I used racism just as an example for this is because that's exactly what happens when you are that scared kid and you're trying to cope in the world and you don't have healthy coping mechanisms and you don't understand what fear feels like and you don't understand that fear can be questioned and you don't understand that parts of the world that you do not understand can still be open to so that you can understand them. When all of those things are true, you find yourself acting less human. And that's exactly what racist people act like, right? They are less human. It's like, why are you unable to see the dignity in being a human regardless of what they look like? Why is that the case? Because at the center of who you are is a trembling little kid that was never taught to move through the world properly. They were never taught that courage is an antidote for the things that they're scared of. They were never taught that understanding is an antidote for the things that they were scared of. And so they allow that fear to make them less human. Now, again, I use that as an example of just pointing out how these things happen within us. But understand that racism is not the only, you know, endpoint of fear. There are many, many other endpoints of fear. And one of those is a weakened immune system. And so right now we live in this world where increasing your immune system is actually one of the only things that you can do, right? Increasing your immune function is one of the only tools that you actually have. Now, I know we've got the vaccine coming and people are excited about that, I'm sure. Right? But it's not here now, and it hasn't been here all year. The thing that you have is you. The thing that you have is your ability to navigate the world in a way that doesn't leave you under the tyranny of what you are afraid of. Because if you do, it will continue to make you less and less human. And you'll find more and more friction with what it's like to be here. And you'll also find, because fear only begets more of itself, that if you don't understand it and you don't have the courage to face it, it gets bigger and you get smaller. And so over time, the things that we never face, they just grow and grow and grow. And you'll see that some people have walls all around them. They don't let people in their heart. They don't let people in their life. They don't let opinions. They say, you cannot change me. Like, have you heard people say that before? It's like, man, what a shame, right? Because you're going to be punished by that your whole life. You know, we're not punished for our sins. We're punished by our sins. A lack of perspective, for example, is its own punishment. And so, unfortunately, you put yourself in this position where you have all this friction in the world, and the antidote to that is to open yourself up to what you are so afraid of. And then in doing so, you find that the natural disposition for a human to be a good human is open. And so, a way that that's highlighted, for example, would be agoraphobia. It's like, you know, the outside world is just getting more and more dangerous. You understand it less and less. It's growing bigger and bigger, and you're getting smaller and smaller. And that example, that's how our fears work all around the board, right? If we do not face them, if we do not understand them, if we do not open to them, they will grow and we'll get smaller. And so our opposition and our divisiveness to things will get further, right? We feel as though we have to protect ourselves more and more and more. And so we dig our heels in further and we cast more disparity between them and us, or between that fear and ourselves. And so fear has this quality that can, over time, strangle your humanity in a sense. Like, the walls will close in on you and you'll find yourself with less opportunity and freedom to move around and to do the things that we do as human beings, like love each other, you know, like meet people where they're at, like suffer with other people, like work for the emergence of the highest good. All those things get taken off the table by fear. And again, we'll go over this in that workshop a bit, because there's a whole pretty good section dedicated to fear. But, you know, scared people have a really, really difficult time being good people for that reason. It's just hard. It's hard to face people that you're afraid of. It's hard to face a world when it presents a threat to you every 2 seconds. But I would also submit that if you can, now it's not facing it and just, ego inflation, making yourself bigger. Like, you have fears because things are scary and because you can die. And so fear brings information. but it's not always the information it presents with, which is sometimes why I say sit with your fears long enough to figure out what their real name is. So when all of this was happening in the pandemic and I felt this feeling of fear welling up inside of me, but couldn't quite figure out where it was coming from, start to understand that it's coming on this like small drip. And then I had to ask myself, well, what is it though? What is it that I'm so afraid of? And I realized, oh, the thing is, I'm being threatened right now. Like there's a thing in the world that seems like it could take me out, and I know about it, right? And it seems to be more prevalent because I'm watching it on the news and I'm hearing people talk about it, and we're changing our entire life because of it. So it seems to be more prevalent than the other things that could kill me. And so it gets a better seat at the table. And then what I realized is the thing that was making me so afraid specifically, and this is about me, but I'll show you how this can be about you, is that I realized that the thing I was the most afraid of was dying without my best work being done. Like, I just feel like there's a certain way that I want to contribute to the world, and I have all these ideas about philosophy and theology and content I want to create. And I just felt like, man, if I get killed now, I won't have done it. Now, once you figure out the fear, now you got to lean into it, right? Because what'll happen is on the other side of that fear is liberation. And so if you can lean into it, and so this is what I did, I realized, okay, I have this fear, logical or illogical, doesn't really matter. This is what I'm afraid of, is my best work not being complete. And so then I say, well, what does that mean for me? What can I do about that? And realistically, what can I do about that? Not what can I say about it, but just what actions are in my control? And it's like, well, you can focus more on your work in the world. You can focus more on what you're here to do and not on what you're not here to do, right? You're not here to worry. There's this interesting line in the New Testament where Jesus basically says, like, who of you could add a single minute to your life by worrying? None of you could. What can you do though? Well, you can focus on what you're here for, you know? And what I'm here for example, is creating the written and spoken word in a certain way. And so I allow that once I realize, okay, this is my fear. Now, by realizing what I can do about it, by focusing on what my work is, I push past that fear and I have a deeper connection with my life. I have a deeper satisfaction with my work. And then I realize, well, if this thing that is gonna come for me, death, for example, that I have no choice over anyway, and worrying about it isn't helping, at least when it comes for me, I will have done the best I can at doing what my job is. And so that's another reason why I'm doing this workshop on December 2nd, because we need to become clear on what our work is so that we don't get mired down by work that was never ours in the first place. So Maxim 16 is, do not let fear make you less human. I love you guys. We'll talk later on Morning Coffee.